Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
South Dakota House of Representatives now come to order. Leading us in our prayer today is Pastor Diane Jackson from the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Leading us in our pledge are pages Thad Kaltsoulis from Yankton and Chelsea Paulson from Clark.
Good afternoon. Oh God, give us grace to set a good example to all among whom we live, to be just and true in all our dealings, to be strict and conscientious in the discharge of every duty, pure and temperate in all enjoyment, gracious and generous and courteous toward all. We ask that you be with us in this time of legislation. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Do not let us fail in the face of these events. Uphold us with your love and give us the strength we need. Help us in our confusion and guide our actions. Heal the hurt, console the bereaved and afflicted, protect the innocent and helpless, and deliver any who are in peril. We pray this in your name and to your glory. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, we'll call the roll, please.
Blake, Bolin, Boomgarden, Bruner, Berg, Carson, Cronin, Kurd, Cutler, Diedrich, Dennert, Dreyer, Elliott, Vangels, Vane, Fargen, Feikert, Feinstein, Verix, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hamill, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironcloud, Jensen, Junkie, Killer, Crickaby, Kirschman, Kopp, Krebs, Lang, Lederman, Lucas, Les, McLaughlin, Mosier, Nome, Norstrup, Nygaard, Betty Olson, Ryan Olson, Peters, Pitts, Putnam, Roush, Romkum, Arounds, Russell, Schleckaway, Schramp, Sly, Solberg, Solem, Sorensen, Steele, Street, TKO Thompson, Tiedemann, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Vander Lindy, Vanneman, Vercio, Wink, Wismer, Speaker, Rave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 30th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Timothy A. Rave, Chair.
All those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We have some guests today, ladies and gentlemen. The Hedog Student Council in Todd County School District is here with their teachers, Andrew Hayes and Marion Katz, Principal Deb Boyd, and welcome on behalf of Representative Lucas. If you're here, stand up, please, right behind me. Stand up. Welcome. On behalf of Representatives Turbeville and Romkema, we have the fourth grade class from Spearfish with Kathy Christensen, Charlene, I'm going to say this wrong, I'm sorry, Schloop, that was close. East Elementary, fourth grade, where are you at? Stand up if you're here. There they are all around behind you. Welcome. Thank you guys for coming out today to your capital. Communications.
February 26, 2009. Mr. Speaker and members of the House of Representatives, I have the honor to inform you that on February 25, 2009, I approved House Bills 1004, 1014, 1026, 1028, 1040, 1043, 1049, 1058, 1076, 1093, 1099, 11, 10, 11, 11, 11, 19, and 12, 13, and the same have been deposited in the office of the Secretary of State. Also, Mr. Speaker, on March 3, 2009, the Governor signed, he has the honor to inform us that on March 2, 2009, I approved House Bills 1018, 1022, 1082, 1104, 1136, and 1152, and the same have been deposited in the office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, M. Michael Rounds, Governor.
Consideration of executive vetoes and recommendations.
The House will proceed to the reconsideration of House Bill 1171 pursuant to the veto of the Governor as provided in Section 4, Article 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Question being, on shall House Bill 1171 pass, veto of the governor notwithstanding, are there any remarks? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this has been a wonderful example of bringing a discussion back to the bodies of the Senate and the House, having passion behind the arguments of the forced reconsolidation of our small schools, and winning those arguments all the way to the governor's chair. Now, this veto is and was eminent because of certain sparsity factors, notwithstanding in counties of large population. Our district has very small populated counties. We will be looking at certain regulations and sparsity factors giving us a little bit more breathing room than what we have today. I can understand 100% the governor's veto, and I would be lame-minded in saying anything negative about his veto, except that it is under the assumption that there would be many other counties with school districts in them, which would then be exempt forever from the thought of reorganization, even though it might be in their best interest. That said, I urge you to not dismiss this idea and vote red, but if you need to vote for this veto for any reason, understand that I'm not going away, and this issue isn't going away. I urge you to override the governor's veto, and we can add parameters to this next year. Now, what can we add? We can add size of counties, whereby this is affecting only those of very small numbers. Those counties with large county populations, with school districts 5 miles away from the border, probably in eastern South Dakota only. We would have to exempt them from this, otherwise I can see some problems in the future. Nevertheless, this has been an example of good government. This has been an example of people fighting for the right issues that they firmly believe in. I also believe firmly that the forced reorganization, and I will make this quick, we have lots to do today. Not only are we harming the economic austerity of our smaller communities, but we're not saving any money. And as was mentioned on this floor by the good representative from Mitchell in his wonderful debate in favor of this bill, we are not, through testing, finding any great advantage coming from our larger school districts. In fact, our smaller districts are raising the bar and are beating the test scores, entrance exams into college. Therefore, I leave you with a dilemma today, but I do understand we all need to do what we need to do at the end of the day. Thank you. I urge you to vote red. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Just hang on, ladies and gentlemen, hang on. The veto message is in the journal, and it is online if you do want to look at it. If you feel the need to look at the veto message, it is online under the journal. Further remarks on the governor's veto. Representative Cronin.
I believe if we want to override the governor's veto, we must vote green. Is that correct?
That would be a fair statement.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Charlie meant green. Excuse me.
You mean the good representative from Campbell, Edmonds, Falk, Hyde, McPherson County?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
I knew you
Speaker.
Did. Thank you. Further remarks? Okay. Quiet down, ladies and gentlemen. Representative Van Gerpen.
Mr. Speaker and members of this body, I encourage you to sustain the governor's veto and to mark red as you vote on this. That's where my good colleague from Edmonds and I would agree. Ladies and gentlemen, honestly, we have schools, or at least a school, I guess a couple of schools, that I think are already in the process of trying to consolidate because they were told in 2007 that if they had less than 100 students and they were not a sparse school district, that they ought to begin putting together a plan for consolidation. I think it is extremely unfair to the members of any school district that is considering this or in the process of this to change the boat in the middle of the stream. I can see where the governor is coming from. I think his position is valid. These schools are now in the process doing what they were told to do by law. And if it's a situation where there's a sparse school district, the law provides that they can continue to exist with the 100 students. And so I encourage you to vote red and to protect those processes that are already going on regarding consolidation and reorganization. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you. Well, this is always a contentious issue, but I think that the body needs to recognize that the county lines really do not have a lot to do with an effective school district. We need to build effective size school districts based on the basis of the trade areas and what makes sense for where students want to open, enroll, and attend schools. This bill is one that has, or this issue is one that has been before this body and a number of times. I would urge the individuals to vote just as you did on the first time when it came here, and to allow the governor's veto to stand.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Hoffman speaks to the bill for a second time? Representative Hamill. Hello, Representative Hamill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, with all due respect to my colleague who says that we would be unwise to change, I don't know if you said horses in midstream, but, you know, I don't think that you do anybody a service by a continuation of a bad policy. I don't think you serve the people or the schools of the state by passing a law that agrees with the previous law that was not fair. What we're really talking about here is self-determination of small communities and small schools. We have many small communities in this state that are trying very hard to survive, maybe even prosper. Many of them are succeeding. We need to give them that opportunity. I know there's a philosophical difference here, but you know, it's really hard for me to get past the idea that every community in this state that has a school who wants to sustain it and is willing to pay for it through local taxes and who is hoping against hope that they can actually grow, and with today's technological revolution, they have now today more hope than ever. If we take that last best hope away from them by forcing consolidation, we will be doing them a great disservice and an injustice. I would ask you to support this veto override to give our smaller communities a chance. And furthermore, I do not think just because a school is in the process of a reorganization or consolidation because of a prior vote is any reason to perpetuate that on future schools. Which is worse, having schools that are in the process of changing back up and start over or continue the process, or condemning all schools going forward, forced reorganization, because in the first instance we made a bad choice. We have a chance today to rectify that situation, and so I would ask for your green vote today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Fain.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just felt compelled to comment on a couple of things that we've heard offered to you today. First of all, I've heard two comments that that bothered me the most, that it was a bad policy decision that was made 2 years ago, and that in fact it doesn't save the state any money by making the decision that we did. First of all, I want to point out to you that in 2007, when the law was passed that we're referring to about having 100 minimum size school districts, I want to assure the members of this body that none of us took that vote lightly. We heard hours of debate, pro and con, as to why this bill should be passed. Hours of debate. I want to also assure you all that that bill would not have passed without many members of this body who in fact live in districts that are all small schools agreeing with the facts that were put in front of us. We would not have passed that bill if it was all decided on by the people who live in districts that just have big schools. There were people in here and on the other side of this building that took very, very hard votes. They voted against schools in their district because they were convinced by the hours of testimony that we saw on that bill that it was the right thing to do. For us to show up 2 years later and not have heard the hours of testimony and reasons why we made that decision, to say that it was bad policy, that it was a bad decision, and that doesn't save money, is simply irresponsible. We heard the facts. We had many opportunities to listen to the facts. We made a decision. A lot of people made hard votes, but had you been in those meetings 2 years ago, you'd understand why that decision was made and why we should sustain the governor's veto. Ladies and gentlemen, we made a hard call 2 years ago. We made the right call. Today is no time to say that was a bad, bad decision, because it was the right decision. Vote green, sustain the veto. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
Excuse me, vote red. Charlie got me off base.
Vote for the red. Remarks. Representative Noem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to come at this from a little bit of a different angle. I feel like the basis for this legislation before us is based on where an arbitrary line is. It's based on the fact of where we draw a county line. It's not based on what size the school is. It's not based on how many kids go to that school. It's not based on the quality of education of those schools. It's not based on the land mass in that school, the taxes. It's based on absolutely nothing except for where that line is drawn. It doesn't even take into account the size of a county. Maybe we should have two schools in a county that's large and has more land mass and make that a requirement. Instead, we've just decided off the cuff that we need to have at least one school in each county in this state. When we start setting policy like this and basing our policy on something that has no real meaning other than an imaginary line that we draw in the sand, it's poor policy, and it's going to be very hard to implement in years to come. You have to be able to defend your vote at all times based on quality information. And I would say that saying it's based on a county and where a county line is would not be appropriate. Base it on other factors that really impact kids and the education that they get in this state. Base it on how far they have to drive to school. Base it on how long they have to ride a bus. Base it on how good of an education they can get and what kind of a quality of life they can have in those communities. But don't base it on a line that means nothing to the kids in this state. I'd ask that you vote red on this vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Sorensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's probably okay that we hear from somebody on the other side of the aisle. Being on education committee, we did hear all this testimony. Those people who, the last two speakers, their views were not there to be heard. We heard from people from the State Department of Education who even said that consolidation does not save dollars. It does not save dollars. And so we voted, we discussed this issue at length and took a vote on this issue. And I guess I kind of agree with our representative from Aurora and Davison that maybe those people who live back in each one of those districts, they are the experts. They're the ones that need to make the decisions, as the previous speaker said, about quality of schools. They know the quality of their school. They know how many hours their minister kids are on a school bus. But I want you to think of one thing. When we left that house ed that day, I heard a number of people saying, wow, it's different in here. They listen. And we listen to those people from those small schools. And I'm a big fan of small schools. I know they do a good job. And I think this is just one of many votes that maybe it's time to think about what is right for the kids and not maybe what was right 2 years ago when a different group was in here. Thank you, Mr. Chair, or Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to echo the concerns of the representative from Beadle, Coddington, Clark, Hamlin, Kingsbury counties. This isn't about borders. There is nothing that has to do with the county border and a school district border. We're comparing apples to oranges. We're trying to mesh the two. There's nothing. We have nothing against small schools, but we have to take into account what's best for our children. And I respect what the sponsor of the bill is trying to do, but when I go back to my Cracker Barrels and I have people ask me, what does the county have to do with a school district? And they say, well, if there is a school along the border of one county and the other county that's next to it has to have its own school because of this bill, we're going to have two schools within 5 miles of each other. And where's the sense in that? Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, does any member of the body wish to speak for Representative Van Gerpen or Representative Hoffman speak to the bill for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Van Gerpen was up first.
I'll make this fair, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask a question of the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
In a scenario of School A and School C, who today and the last year have been in the process of coming together and consolidating, if we pass this legislation, during this time they have abandoned, let's say School A has abandoned its school property for the past year, and they've agreed to go to School B. But if we pass this legislation, School A says, hey, we want to go back to School A. This school has been abandoned for a year. It's been down. It's run down. It's been ignored. But now they're saying they want to go back because we're allowing that with this legislation. Are we as a state liable to help them to go back and reconstruct that school since we changed the law and said now you can have School A? Are we liable for that?
Representative Hoffman, do you wish to answer that question, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I guess I'd need a little bit more information. Are the two schools in separate counties? Number one. Number two, I'd need to know whether the two schools were forced under the guideline of the 100. Arbitrary line in the sand, that fictitious number of 100, were they forced by that to reconsolidate? And three, did they get any state funding from the schools for reconsolidation as is current law?
Representative Van Gerpen, do you wish to re-answer those three questions?
I'll try to answer as many as I remember.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. They were in the same county. And the second question was, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, second question.
I'm sorry. Please repeat the question, Representative Hoffman.
Okay. The first question was, were they in different counties? Second question was...
Well, let's just stop there. Let's answer one at a time, and then we won't have to do this again. Representative Van Gerpen, do you wish to answer that first question?
I certainly do, Mr. Speaker, and the answer would be yes, they're in the same county.
Representative Hoffman, do you have another question?
Were they forced into reconsolidation because of the 100 minimum number of students?
Representative Van Gerpen, do you wish to answer that question?
Yes, I do, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you.
The illustration I'm using is that they were forced to consolidate under the requirements of the bill passed in 2007 by this legislature.
Representative Hoffman, do you have anything further?
That answers my third question, and they obviously received some state money to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Van Gerpen, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, my point is, members of the body, I'm not sure that we couldn't put ourselves in a very precarious position in that if this were to actually happen, and it's a scenario that I think could happen, that we as a state could be required to go back and help them reconstruct that school that has been destroyed over the year or two. And so I think it's just bad, bad policy to change legislation in the middle of the street.
Thank you, Representative, for the remarks. Does any member wish to speak before Representative Hoffman speaks to the bill for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My mission today is not to conquer, confuse, and divide. I misstated my intentions for the vote. As we've seen, it is easy to do under these circumstances. But I got a little ammunition in listening to the crowd. The arbitration of a line of county government is, in my mind, absolutely no different than the arbitrary number out of the sky of 100. That together are, I believe, both very, very arbitrary, and we can confuse good policy and the future. But I said, with this veto, nevertheless, one way or the other, we are going to reconsider all of the ramifications, qualifications put forward by the Education Department in our forced reconsolidation plan in this state, and I look forward to many intelligent, intellectual conversations about that. I urge you to support the original bill, House Bill 1171, vote green. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? All right. Before we move on, ladies and gentlemen, there's been some confusion. This is our first veto. I'll go through this once. If you want the bill to pass, you will vote yes, just like in any other bill we vote on. If you want the bill to die, you will vote no or red, just like any other bill we vote on, okay? All right. The question being, shall House Bill 1171 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding? All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote. It is a two-thirds vote to override the governor's veto. Two-thirds.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 28, nays 41.
House Bill 1171, having failed to receive an affirmative two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost, sustaining the governor's veto. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that Senate Bills 96 and 127 do pass, Senate Bill 89 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, Senate Bill 130 be referred to the Committee on Local Government, and Senate Bill 79 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Joni M. Kotler, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that Senate Bill 53 do pass, Senate Bills 54 and 56 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 55 do pass as amended and be placed on the consent calendar. Thomas J. Bruner, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 21 do pass, Senate Bill 86 and 161 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 80 do pass as amended. Brian P. Olson, Chair. And the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that Senate Bills 155 and 158 do pass. Senate Bill 183 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and Senate Bill 115 do pass as amended. Mark Kirkaby, Chair. And lastly, the Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 129 do pass, Senate Bill 18 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, Senate Bill 32 be referred to the Committee on Appropriations, and Senate Bill 98 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Chantel Krebs, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1024, 1148, 1159, 1184, and 1214, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1050 and 1090, which have been amended by the Senate, and your concurrence in the amendments is respectfully requested. Trudy Evanstead, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Steele moves that House Concurrent Resolution 1013 be adopted.
The question being on Representative Steele's motion that HCR 1013 be adopted. Are there any remarks? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of this distinguished body. I ask for your support on Resolution 1013. This resolution has already been passed in over 20 different states. Concerning the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and reads as follows, and I quote, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people," unquote. That's our people. That's South Dakotans. Scope of power defined by the 10th Amendment means that the federal government was created by the states specifically to be an agent of the states. It seems that we're becoming an agent of the federal government. Many federal mandates are directly in violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, I would appreciate your support for this resolution to have on record a statement from our state, from South Dakota, confirming what the 10th Amendment declares, which is part of the Bill of Rights. And I'd appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on the Steele motion? Hearing none, question being on Representative Steele's motion that HCR 1013 be adopted. All those favorable vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Ironclad. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 51, nays 18.
HCR 1013, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared adopted.
Representative Fain moves that the reconsideration of Senate Bill 17 be placed to precede the reconsideration of Senate Bill 30 on today's calendar.
All those favor the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Nice try, though.
Representative Krebs moves that the House do now reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 17 lost.
The Representative Krebs motion having been moved and seconded, are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Department of Public Safety and the Driver's Licensing Bureau would greatly appreciate your reconsideration of Senate Bill 17. It's a result of the federal regulations that must be adopted by South Dakota in order for our citizens to use their driver's license or identification cards for federal purposes. Failure to pass this legislation will result in the citizens having to obtain alternative or different forms of ID, specifically a passport, in order to enter a federal building or enter an aircraft because of the federal regulations and control by the Federal Transportation Safety Administration. This legislation...
Representative Krebs, I'm sorry, you cannot debate the merits of the bill on reconsideration. Thank you.
Please give us your favorable consideration of reconsideration of Senate Bill 17.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Krebs motion? Hearing none, questioning on Representative Krebs' motion to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 17 was lost. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Cronin.
Cronin votes aye.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 49, nays 20.
Senate Bill 17, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared reconsidered.
Senate Bill 17 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 17, having had a second reading, consideration and final passage. Now, are there any remarks, Representative Krebs?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I was waiting for you to gavel me down, but I thought I'd get my word in. Thank you for granting me that extra latitude there. Anyway, really, by the action we have to take today has to be acted upon on by December 31st, because the regulations do take effect on December 31st of this year. If we don't do this and we don't comply, we will have issues with our citizens being able to board the aircraft specifically. But more importantly, the 9/11 Commission propose these as federal minimum standards that are required by each state to implement in their driver's license. I want to clarify, this is not the Real ID Act. The Real ID Act would be a national database system which provides for the federal government issuing a national or a federal driver's license. This is not what this is. This is separate and a result of the 9/11 Commission. Specifically, South Dakota will still have control of issuing and forming and making the South Dakota driver's license. There is no national database. The database and information will be retained within our state as it is currently. Unfortunately, we're just requiring us to bring more information to the driver's license office when you renew. Thank you for your consideration. I really appreciate your support on Senate Bill 17.
Thank you, Representative. I was just stunned at your non-compliance. I couldn't get the gavel in my hand. Further remarks on Senate Bill 17. Hearing none. Question for South Dakota House of Representatives. Final consideration of Senate Bill 17. All those favorable vote aye. Those opposed nay. Clerk will lock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Carson. Representative Carson.
He did.
Karen, he voted.
Representative Carson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We lost him, didn't we, Karen?
I did. I'm sorry. Mr. Speaker, all members have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 48, nays 21.
Senate Bill 17, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
Representative Hunhoff moves that the House do now reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 30 passed.
Thank you. Question being on Representative Hunhoff's motion to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 30 passed. Are there any remarks? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, like Senate Bill 17, this is just a simple little thing that needs to be resolved. So if we could just briefly revisit the issue, a couple people were not on the floor yesterday or not available to vote, and we do have a slightly different amendment that we'd like to offer that will truly make this a better bill and save lives in South Dakota. So I'd appreciate the vote for reconsideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Hunhoff motion. Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I would urge you not to vote to reconsider. Senate Bill 30 passed by a good vote of the body yesterday, and it has a good purpose that the Department of Transportation brought to us this year. Now, it's obvious that there's another Hog House amendment in the works dealing with the issue that originally was put on Senate Bill, or attempted put on Senate Bill 30 yesterday. And as most of you probably know, I'm not in favor of doing Hog Houses on the floor of the House. And it's not that just a Hog House on the floor leads sometimes to liberal interpretations of how the amendment may be or may not be germane to the subject of the bill. The real problem, in my opinion, is that it disenfranchises our constituents from the process. Now, we have these issues, we bring them to committee, people come in and testify for and against, and then we vote on them. And if we're not satisfied with the vote, we have options that we can bring those bills to the floor. And I believe there's a bill in House Judiciary Committee right now that would deal with this issue, and it failed, I think, on a 9-4 vote. So if there's enough support, in my opinion, that would the proper way would be to smoke that bill and bring it to the floor. And what that would allow would be the constituents the opportunity to contact us, and if it would come out of committee, for example, do not pass, they can contact us and urge us. However, they want us to vote, either to strike the not or not to. The point being is that when we do the hog house on the floor, the only people that are aware of this are those right here in this body and maybe a few in the gallery. The people back home, whether they're following the process on the internet or in the news, or they have a lobbying group that contacts them with updates every day, they don't know what's going on. And so we do these things, and then we pass them over to the other body before the constituents have a chance to react. So my opinion is let the process work. Senate Bill 30 is a good bill. It has a purpose. It's needed by the Department of Transportation. If you have the issue with the seatbelts, then let's bring forth the bill that's set in the Judiciary Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. For the remarks, Representative Bruner.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with the previous speaker. I think the committee process has been subverted here, and I don't really appreciate that when a bill who seemingly dies in committee, we can smoke it out. If it's a big issue, smoke the issue out. We had a perfectly good bill on the floor that obviously was a target because of germaneness, I guess, to the subject, and so we targeted that bill. Completely subverts the committee process, and I would just urge you to vote no.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, to say we should use this rule or shouldn't use that rule, that probably depends on the subject. Part of the reason people send us here is to make these judgment calls, because they can't be here. So I think this is a judgment call we should make. Let's push green and let's move on with this issue.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the body. Well, I would agree with the former speaker that this also is a part of the process. And the fact that we've had several of the members who are missing from the body yesterday, I would ask for your kind consideration and courtesy in allowing them to partake in the discussion that we have on this bill. We often do that for members who are missing on a matter that's of importance like this is. So I would ask you to please give us your courtesy and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none. Question being on Representative Hunhoff's motion to reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 30 passed. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 36, nays 33.
Senate Bill 30, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared reconsidered.
Senate Bill 30 has had its second reading.
Senate Bill 30, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Curd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment for Senate Bill 30.
Is that Senate Bill 30, Frank Alpha?
Yes, it is.
Has it been distributed, sir?
Yes, it has.
Do you move it at this time?
Yes, I do.
Is there any member wish to have that amendment read? I'm sorry, I thought I heard correctly. No. Do you have a copy of the amendment, Representative Lucas?
Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, I would like the amendment read on the internet.
Thank you. On the printed bill, delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. Section 1, that
Section 32-38-1 be amended to read as follows. Except as provided in Chapter 32-37 and 32-38-3, every operator and front seat passenger for passenger vehicle operated on a public highway in this state shall wear a properly adjusted and fastened safety seat belt system required to be installed in the passenger vehicle when manufactured pursuant to Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard Number 208-49 CFR 571.208 in effect January 1st, 1989 at all times when the vehicle is in forward motion. Driver of the passenger vehicle shall secure or cause to be secured a properly adjusted and fastened safety seatbelt system on any passenger in the front seat who is at least 5 years of age but younger than 18 years of age. Any violation of this section is a petty offense and is not a moving traffic offense under the provisions of 32.12.49.1. Section 2, that 32-38-5 be repealed. Section 3, that Chapter 32-38 be amended by adding thereto a new section to read as follows. For the purpose of this chapter, a passenger bus means any self-propelled vehicle used on a highway to transport passengers. The passenger bus, one, has a gross vehicle weight rating or gross vehicle weight of 10,001 pounds or more, whichever is greater, or two, is designed or used to transport more than 15 passengers, including the driver. Any remarks? Representative Curd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I comment that with that illustrious reading, when our clerk retires and you're no longer serving out your glorious career, perhaps you should consider her position for your future.
I may come back. That would be fine.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Well, I too have great respect for the committee process and the rules that we are operating under as members of the South Dakota House of Representatives, and I believe they exist expressly for situations like we are facing here today. I do not believe it is my responsibility, nor would I normally take the procedure of asking you good members to reconsider a question that has been asked and answered. So you might wonder why it is that I'm doing that here today, and it is because of the overwhelming response from some of you asking me to do so that I stand before you. Many of the members in the House of Representatives came to me one-on-one and asked that we put a mechanism in place to reconsider this piece of legislation as a matter of important public safety. And so I'm doing that. I hope that those members that approached me and asked for this opportunity will thoughtfully reconsider their vote on this issue yesterday and send a message to the citizens of our state that we care about their public safety. Contrary to some of the opinions expressed yesterday, this amendment to Senate Bill 30 does not encroach upon your civil liberties. It does not encroach upon your freedom. We already have a state law that requires the front seat passengers to buckle up for safety. We already have statutes that require that you buckle up minors in your vehicle. This bill only seeks to change the penalty. There was a lot of discussion yesterday on this floor, in this body, about succumbing to federal requests for the benefit of federal money. To me, the federal money about this issue is not important. What is important to me is saving lives and preventing permanent disability. $5.1, $5.2 million, although substantial, is a pittance compared to the amount of money that this state spends on an annual basis for individuals that are unfortunate enough to be involved in a motor vehicular accident and be ejected from their vehicle. If they are fortunate enough to have health insurance, that can be quickly exhausted. And then the responsibility for those folks' ongoing care rests squarely upon the citizens of our state. I believe the statistical evidence that would prove to you that were we to enact this amendment on Senate Bill 30 as a primary enforcement measure, that we would see at least a 10% increase in the utilization of safety belts, and that would lead to a direct reduction in dismemberment, disablement, and death in our state. That's why it's important to me. It's not the federal money. I would encourage you to thoughtfully reconsider your position on this vote if you voted against it yesterday. If you supported the idea and the concept yesterday, I would encourage you to continue to support that position today. And I ask for you to vote favorably. That would be the green button and a yay vote on Senate Bill 130 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Kirkaby.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question to the sponsor.
State your question, sir.
The testimony that was given, and maybe I never heard it right, but I do know that I heard the figure 10% decrease if, in fact, this new law had more teeth or that penalty in there, because evidently the law is always already in place. But is there already, the Honorable Representative from Lincoln and Minnehaha County, is there any scientific evidence that would support that 10% decrease in the claims, or I guess a part of your testimony, for us having this additional penalty in place?
Representative Kurd, do you wish to answer that question?
Certainly. The estimate of a 10% increase in utilization comes from the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration. And if you would allow the arithmetic to proceed towards the number of car accidents and the ejections that occur in our state every year, approximately 108 deaths. Half of those deaths come from people that are ejected. That's 50. If you do a little simple arithmetic and manipulation, you can come up with the estimate of the number of lives saved. So to answer your question more directly, no one has done a controlled study where they took a primary seatbelt law, looked at the number of deaths from it, and then repealed it and looked at the number of deaths after that. But this is our best estimate based on the data that's currently available to us.
Representative Kirkaby, do you wish, or I'm sorry, you still have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and just briefly, and take along with the sponsor that have some testimony specifically, and I wrote down the note, we care. We all do care about the citizens of the great state of South Dakota, but I still remain firm in my commitment that stiffer penalties, and that's all we're looking at, stiffer penalties with an existing statute. I'm just totally uncomfortable. I would encourage this body, if they were read yesterday, to remain so today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, just to add some statistics, from 2003 to 2007, motor vehicle accidents were the leading cause of death for South Dakotans in the age group of 18 to 49 years of age. And more vehicle accidents occurred for 39% of all deaths to 18 to 24 years of age, the younger people. And according to the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, in 1993, 25% of South Dakotans always used their seatbelts, as we've had a lot of testimony about. By 1995, that number had risen to 43%. But by 2006, from that same Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, they report Iowa at 80% usage, Minnesota 80%, Montana 68%, Nebraska 66%, Wyoming 63, North and South Dakota tied at 58%. I'm one of those guys that use seat belts every once in a while. It's my rebellious nature, having been a helicopter pilot and been forced to wear the seat belt and the shoulder harness and all that stuff. I tell you that my daughter, many of you met her when she was here as a page and as an intern, wouldn't be here today had she not worn hers, and she voluntarily wore it, drove out the driveway, and was hit by two head-on collision with two highway patrolmen right in front of our home. Luckily, she had her seatbelt on, and it saved her life. If I'd driven out that day, I probably would have been not here. And many of you may be thankful one way or the other. I'm not going to suggest either way. At any rate, the number of 10% represents 2008 numbers, 59 people who ejected fatalities in the state of South Dakota. That would mean six people would have been here today had they been forced to wear the seatbelt. And I'm one of those guys that have to have a reminder. I also remember from testimony the other day that we suggest that law enforcement would be pulling people over because they have that bill. I suggest just the opposite. I don't think our law enforcement, we have some of the best law enforcement in the state that there is in this nation. They're not going to use that as a reason to pull you over. And if they did pull you over for that reason, needing that probable cause, they probably had something else in their mind. And maybe it was just as well that you were pulled over. I don't think it's, I've never been pulled over in another state where it's a primary offense versus secondary. So I don't think it's going to become rampant in this state either. I urge you to vote green on this one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wear my seatbelt every time I start my car and go down the road. It come from the habit of being at the telephone company because you never moved a vehicle unless you had your seatbelt on. It came through training, and I think that's one of the ways that we can do this and should do this. Don't even know what I did with my notes. I agreed with my fellow representative from District 12. We need to be concerned about our public safety. And I do not feel the money that is considered on this is relatively that important. If we, as far as the public safety, if we take a look at drunk drivers, I wonder how many of those are killed and maimed, hundreds of South Dakotans every year. Shouldn't we be taking a look at that more than seatbelts? And what we're really talking about here is the individual rights and freedoms versus more big brother, big government. One nail at a time in our coffin of liberty, which is my reason for being opposed to this, even though I believe everybody should be wearing seatbelts. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Saar, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the issue of personal liberties versus common good is something that we wrestle with a lot here in South Dakota, and something that's debated in legislatures across the country. And thus, a lot of studies have been done. Some of the numbers have been put out there already, and I'm not going to repeat anything I said yesterday. Since yesterday, it has come to my attention that the University of Missouri did a study. They studied 13 years of changing habits in the state of Missouri and concluded that if you go from secondary enforcement to primary enforcement, as we're talking about today, usage of seatbelts increased 10% and deaths declined 5.1%. So that's another study from the University of Missouri, important numbers over a 13-year period. Just very briefly, let me say it does come down to public safety. We spend a lot of money in South Dakota, and appropriately so, trying to make our highways and streets safer. We put in all sorts of signage and speed bumps and guardrails. We even level hills in some cases and create turning lanes, stop signs, and all the things we do to increase public safety. This is a public safety issue, not just for the driver who does or does not wear a seatbelt. It's public safety for all of us. If you have a seatbelt on, again, studies have shown if you have a seatbelt on, you're more likely to stay in control of your vehicle. And whether you might be swerving to miss a deer or hit an icy patch, if you've got the seatbelt on, you have a much better chance of staying in control of that vehicle. That's better for the driver. It's better for the occupants of that car. It's better for cars coming down the opposite lane. This is not just a personal liberty for the driver. It's public safety for all of us. So please, this is an important vote. Vote yes on the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. For the remarks, Representative Romkama.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House. I usually wear my seatbelt. After the vote yesterday, I thought I'd do some due diligence and ask, what's this costing us through Medicaid? The department gave me three examples. One was an accident in 2005 where the individual was expelled from the car. That person cost us to date $966,000. That's through 2008. $919 a day. Example number two, another person who was not seatbelted has incurred injuries, and that has cost us to date $1,020,000, or $700 per day. And number three, a third person who was ejected from their vehicle is costing us $1,057 per day, a total to date of $1.3 million. Three examples, ladies and gentlemen, of people who were ejected from their cars due to not being seatbelted in have cost us $3.3 million or $2,600 per day, and that is not stopping. It is continuing every day. Those are only three people. This is costing us a bundle of money, and if we can decrease it by 10%, We have done a good deal for the citizens of South Dakota and for the public health. I vote you to vote in favor of Senate Bill 30. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Sorensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, I was a little too broad in my examples of how that money could be spent, and I appreciate the words of the sponsor of the bill that the money isn't primary. But a few weeks ago on a trip back here, I took old Highway 14, or the new Highway 14, on a road they used to take many years ago. It was a night when it was raining and misting, and I met a car, and folks, I could not see the lines on the side of the road. When we meet a car in those conditions, sometimes we use those lines to guide us. I could not find the lines on the side of the road. At a meeting the next week, I met our good Secretary Berquist. I told him about my situation. He said, Representative Sorensen, we have stopped putting the white lines on the side of the road. I asked him why. He said, we're out of money. And since yesterday, I got a list from our secretary that lists 13 things, and I won't read all of them, but here's just four that we could use that money for. Pavement and shoulder widening, installation of rumble strips and other warning devices, railroad highway crossing safety, which I lost a friend to, and improving highway signage and pavement markings. Please vote green. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. There were a couple of comments made that I would like to just revisit shortly. The good representative from Spearfish had talked about the cost of injuries and this type of thing. I'd also call your attention to, as a county attorney for both Shannon and Fall River County over the last 8 years, I had a lot of poor relief applications of people who were alcohol and drug addicted that would essentially have to go to the hospital. And those bills from Avera and Sioux Falls or wherever they were hospitalized would come to the county. They would also not have insurance, a lot of these folks. And a lot of times it was directly related to alcohol. And from the standpoint of the government, we can legislate to the tobacco, which we've done. We probably should get a little more serious about the alcohol. It seems like we're allowing it on Sunday. We're doing a lot of other things. But that also cost our society a great deal of money. The bottom line with this, and I think that what offends me, well, there are a couple of things that offend me, but one of them is the gamesmanship that we have here. I think that the representative from Millett and Todd County had a very good point, and that is, we're asked all the time to respect the committee process from the tenured members of the body. But yet on this particular matter, we go outside of that process deliberately. And for whatever the rationale for it, I think, is really suspect too. If we want to pass legislation of this nature, why don't we do it the correct way? Why are we circumventing the process? And if it's political gamesmanship, I think that doesn't bode well for this body. But another thing that really bothers me is the minimization of the encroachment on our personal freedoms. Law enforcement normally, when they make a stop, when they make that stop, their camera might not be on in that cop car. And so you, as the individual who gets stopped for whatever you're going to get stopped for, it may blow into something completely different as we go through this process. But the idea is that if there's no video, law enforcement can simply say that their probable cause for the stop was because you didn't have your seatbelt law on if this passes. And I think that that's something that you should seriously consider as we move forward. I respect Representative Curd in his efforts, or the member from Minnehaha County. I respect him in his efforts. However, I think the way that in which this has been done, and the fact that we've spent this much time on the floor and not in the committee process, we should vote this down. And if they really want to resurrect it, they should resurrect it in the House Judiciary Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'd urge the body to support the amendment by our good friend, Representative from the Minnehaha and Lincoln County area. A lot of research has been done with race cars. Race car drivers and that whole industry knows what cars can and can't do. They know what brands, they know, we get a lot of research on tires, on what tires can and can't do, in what weather patterns, and how they wear, and how long they can wear, and why they wear. They do the research on oil, what oil does in a car. The one interesting factor in all races that all drivers do, they all wear a seatbelt. This should not be a debate. They do the research. We use the research in a daily manner, in every day in life. I would encourage a yes vote on this particular amendment. They have proven that seatbelts save lives, and I'd appreciate your yes vote.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Bruner.
Mr. Speaker, perhaps we should bring a bill another year for all race car drivers to wear seatbelt, but that's hardly the point today. The point is we're giving up more government, more of our rights to the government. Point really isn't even that we will wear seatbelts. I have yet to hear anybody here state that it's not smart to wear seatbelts. I think it's a good thing. I think everybody thinks it's a good thing to wear seatbelts. The real question is, are we going to turn that portion of our decision making over to the state government? And I, for one, am not ready to do that, and I hope nobody else in here is, but apparently we have a lot of us that are. And onward we go down this road, giving up more of our rights for a few dollars, a little carrot dangling out in front of us. We'll run down that road for a few dollars, and I just hope you consider what you're doing here today and vote red.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Bruner, I'm sorry, was that your second time on the amendment? I think that was my fault. Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is government coercion, plain and simple. If it weren't, why don't we keep the same law in the same condition that we have it? Why are we wanting now to make this a capital crime and then introduce a fine? If this isn't government corrosion, what is it? Coercion, what is it? And so I would urge the members of this body to vote no, because we had a good debate on it yesterday. And I can't see bringing this same thing back up again the way we've been doing it, to debate over and over again the merits of this bill, whether we approve or not.
Thank you. Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Representative Curd or Nygaard? Seeing none, Representative Curd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, just in summary, I just wanted to correct one thing that was said earlier by one of the previous speakers, and that is that this amended bill, Senate Bill 30, seeks to stiffen or increase the penalty for the offense. That is incorrect. It leaves the penalty the same. That's all I have to say about the issue. Let's get on and get this thing voted and move on with our calendar. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully call the previous question.
All those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion carries. Roll call has been requested. Is she supported? I knew it was a she. Everybody stand that's supporting her. Everyone else, please get down. She is supported. Please sit. Question being on the Curd motion to amend Frank Alpha. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 34, nays 35.
The Curd motion, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost. We're back to discussion on Senate Bill 30 in its original form. Representative Norstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is back to its original form, and it's still a good bill, so I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I have to apologize to this body. Both yesterday and today, it went right past me, as it apparently did everyone else. This is not a right. The courts of this great state have interpreted for many, many years that driving is a privilege, and they've distinctly said it is not.
Representative, you are not germane to this bill. We're back to Senate Bill 30 in its original format.
Well, isn't that the bill about seatbelts?
No, sir.
Sorry.
Nothing about a seatbelt. It is a highway map. We had this discussion yesterday. Further remarks on Senate Bill 30 in its original form. Hearing none. Question 4, South Dakota House of Representatives. Final consideration of Senate Bill 30 in its original form. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will lock voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Dreyer and Frerichs. Representative Dreyer. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 66, nays 3.
Senate Bill 30, having received a majority vote of the members elect for a second time, is hereby declared passed. Questions on title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Concurrent Resolution 1014, a concurrent resolution urging awareness and support for reading programs in our homes and communities. House Concurrent Resolution 1015 is concurrent resolution stating South Dakota's policy on animal identification programs. House Concurrent Resolution 1016, a concurrent resolution urging the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and the Western Area Power Administration to avoid overly restrictive wildlife criteria and overly burdensome procedural requirements that create unnecessary delays in the siting of wind energy development projects. The Speaker has waived the referral to committee of these three concurrent resolutions.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Fain moves that the reports of the standing committees on state affairs on Senate Joint Resolution 3 and education on Senate Bills 106 and 126 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar to Wednesday, the 32nd legislative day.
All those in favor of the Fain motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Speakers in doubt, all those in favor will stand. All those in favor of the Fain motion, stand up. Senator Nesselhoff, could you get down, please? Thank you. Thank you. You can sit. Motion carries. The calendar is deferred. Announcements. Representative Fain.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remind the body that immediately following our gavel down today, there will be a stimulus plan conference call from the Council of State Governments. Experts from the Council of State Governments will analyze the stimulus plan and its impact on South Dakota. That's going to be starting in 2 minutes in room 414. I would highly encourage all members to attend.
Thank you. Further announcements.
Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A reminder, Conference Committee on House Bill 1086 at 4 p.m. in room 464.
Thank you. Further announcements, Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just want to remind the subcommittee for the read that will be starting 5 minutes after we adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements, Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A reminder, tomorrow morning, Catacombs Caucus, Governor's Large Conference Room at 7 o'clock. One additional announcement, Mr. Speaker, and that is our spouses are bringing in cookies for the last couple of days. If you have any of those cookies and you wonder where you're to deliver them, put them right here in this chair, and I'll eat them, and then we'll have... No, if you have to deliver cookies, put them right in here, and they'll be taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you. The cookies got their attention, Representative. Quiet down. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Before I mention that tomorrow is Packer Day here at the Capitol, I wanted to remind everybody to get your sign-up sheet, whether you're playing or not, your donation to me or to Representative Fargin or Representative Rausch. Today. We need them today. If you're going to play, you do not have a nickname, I will assign one to you. And then that being said, tomorrow is Packer Day at the Capitol. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further announcements? All right, seeing none. Ladies and gentlemen, I will allow you to leave. I have numerous acts to sign. Please go to the webinar upstairs or whatever committees you have. Representative Turberville, you have to stay. Speaker signing an act authorized Department of Transportation to regulate the operation of off-road vehicles certain state highway ditches. Speaker signing act to clarify requirements for employment of a city engineer. Speaker signing an act to provide for the adjustment of prices in certain public contracts. Speaker signing an act to clarify provisions dealing with the initiative process. Speaker signing an act to remove certain speed restrictions for certain vehicles hauling agriculture products or livestock. Speaker signing an act to limit the amount of tax refunds for construction projects that are located in areas that are included in a tax collection agreement between the state and an Indian tribe. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the title to real property obtained by a tax deed. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code and repeal an obsolete reference to the Internal Revenue Code. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the confidentiality and release of certain child abuse or neglect information. Speaker signing an act to revise certain provisions regarding the taxation of biodiesel and biodiesel blends. Speaker signing an act to revise grounds for which continuation or conversion is not required for certain group health policies. Speaker signing an act to revise the state trunk highway system. Speaker signing an act to revise the definition of assisted living center. Speaker signing an act to revise the financial assurance requirements for responding to accidental releases of chemical or biological or leaching agents from certain permitted mines. Speaker signing an act to provide an exemption to the practice of seclusion as it pertains to the treatment of a person with a developmental disability. Speaker signing an act to change the name of adjustment training centers to community support provider. Speaker signing an act to provide for a drug screening program for certain applicants and employees of the Wildland Fire Suppression Division. Speaker signing an act to revise the requirement for a fire equipment shop. Speaker signing an act to permit persons 16 years of age to donate blood under certain circumstances. Speaker signing an act to require background investigations for certain optometrist licensees and applicants. Speaker signing an act to revise the provisions for the risk pool to allow uninsurable children to enroll and to provide for additional funding.
Speaker, signing an act to revise the authority of the state, counties, townships, transfer highway right-of-ways under certain conditions. Speaker, signing an act to revise certain provisions related to municipal election procedures. Speaker, signing an act to clarify the status of property contiguous to a municipality that is crossed by railroad property. Any further announcements? Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.